serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, marking 75 years since the worst naval disaster in U.S. history. The cruiser USS Indianapolis had just completed its secret mission to deliver components of the atomic bomb when it was sunk by a Japanese submarine just after midnight on July 30, 1945. The Congressional Gold Medal awarded to survivors on the 75th anniversary of the sinking depicts the ship on one side with its years of service, 1932 to 1945. It had earned 10 battle stars in World War II before those two torpedoes from the submarine I-58 sealed its fate. On the other side of the gold medal, you'll see a group of survivors huddled on a raft, looking to the skies for the planes that would bring rescue after five excruciating days in the water. Inscribed on that medal, 1,195 sailed, 316 survived. One of those 316, one of eight still with us on the 75th anniversary, is 93-year-old Harold Bray of Benicia, California. You heard him recall the moment when the survivors were finally spotted, really by accident, by a pilot named Chuck Gwynn. That was such an exhilarating moment, but the story wasn't over.
I just think about, you know, the plane comes over, so you know you've been spotted. But then it's another day and a half before they come back. Yeah. Seems like that might be the longest part of the whole thing.
Yeah. It was, where are they? Where are they? They're never here. Where are they? Of course, we were like 200 miles off of land, any land. So a ship, even traveling at 6 knots, takes a while to cover 200 miles. And at one point, there were 6 ships. Came to the rescue, and the Bassett was one I got on. She was the first one there, and see, when I got picked, I was by myself.
Well, and the reason you were by yourself, I think, is because you saw them drop something from the plane. They dropped a sono buoy, but you thought it was water.
Yeah, I hung on to that till, but then I got on a raft by myself.
Okay, I think I read that you were actually asleep or had your eyes closed when they shined a light on your face.
Yeah, when they picked us up, I was sleeping, and then hanging on to whatever it was. I was tired. I was in the water 4 days already.
And you hadn't had anything to eat or drink?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
How much weight did you lose?
35 pounds or less.
In 5 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you must not have had much strength left when they're trying to pick you up.
No, I couldn't even lift my arms out of the water. They were there for a long time.
Can you describe for us what that feels like? With everything that you'd been through, when you finally are put on that LCVP going back to the Bassett, and you know for the first time you're actually going to live, what did that feel like?
Probably I was happy. It was just a miracle that anybody even found us. I don't think he was high enough to see us, but he seen the oil slick. We were in the oil, and that's how we got discovered.
He thought maybe he'd find a Japanese submarine to shoot at or something.
I guess that was what he said, yeah.
Was there ever a point in those 5 days where you thought about giving up?
I practically did because I was getting tired. Of course, there was more room on the raft by that time. You know, I could sit. It was not a raft. It was a rope.
A rope net that you could get on top of and sit.
But you're still in the water.
Yeah.
Up to your neck, holding your head up.
But you don't have to actively hold on with your arms anymore.
No, nothing. We're hanging on to each other until everybody was gone, you know. But just lucky. Just the guys that lived through it was just lucky.
And they took you to the hospital in the Philippines, I believe?
Samara, yeah.
How long did it take you to recover?
I don't know. They flew us to a hospital out of the Philippines and flew us to a hospital in Guam. So we were in Guam maybe a month and a half. I remember hospital 18. I'll never forget that. Then we went from there to San Diego. We spent some time in a hospital there. I was based at an air base in Detroit after that.
But it was while you were in the hospital, I think, that you first learned, hey, that crate that we took to Tinian, that was the atomic bomb that pretty much ended the war.
Yeah.
Was that kind of an eye-opening realization that that's what it was?
Well, nobody knew about the skipper didn't even know.
Yeah.
It's a big secret till they dropped it.
And speaking of the skipper, because there was such a great loss of life on your ship, it was such a disaster. So many things went wrong. People were looking for someone to blame.
Yeah, well, he took the blame. He committed suicide for that reason, I guess, because he was getting nasty letters from the mothers and dads, and we would have got hit no matter what. It was they were just out looking for us. I got to know them.
Yeah. And in fact, the commander of that Japanese submarine, I-58, Hashimoto, even came to the U.S. to testify in the court-martial that I would have gotten him whether he zigzagged or not.
Yeah.
And they still convicted him.
Yeah.
So you and your fellow survivors are living with that, bothered by that. He commits suicide in the 60s. And then in the 90s, a 12-year-old, I believe he was a 12-year-old kid in Florida, Hunter Scott, gets into this story and gets the Senate's attention. And they finally retry this case, basically, in Congress and clear his name, exonerate him.
Yeah.
What did that mean to you and your fellow survivors?
Well, finally got it right, you know. No matter what, we were just in a position where we were going to get hit no matter what. It was no accident the Japs were out looking for us. So I was just so lucky because no sleeping where I was supposed to be sleeping. That's where the two torpedoes hit.
Yeah.
And I happened to be sleeping three decks higher. Just a matter of luck.
There's a lot of what-ifs in your story.
Yeah.
How do you explain them all?
Just matter of luck. That's all I can say. Oh, she's waving her hand. Things to do.
Your wife believes that God was protecting you so she could marry you someday.
Yeah, that's what she says, yeah. It was just a matter of luck. They weren't even looking for us. I can see it today coming over the horizon, coming right at us. When he came over, I can see him do his wings. And he went out and came back, did it again, and he went straight up. That's when he radioed what he had. But he was our angel ever since then. As a matter of fact, that's what we called him, the angel. Because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be talking.
Well, and if this were a normal year and we didn't have COVID-19 and all the madness that comes along with it, you'd be in Indianapolis right now with your shipmates for the 75th anniversary.
Yeah.
What has it meant to you over all these years to know those guys? I mean, you've gotten to know guys you never knew on the ship, right?
Yeah, there was only 12 of them I went on board with. Dick Thielen, to this day, we're still pretty close.
You guys went through boot camp together.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, we ended up together on the ship. It was amazing going through that. I don't know how anybody ever lived through it. It was the weather saved us because we didn't have any rough weather, and most of us were hurt. If we had any storms, I don't think it would have lived through it. Mm-hmm. But we had pretty good weather for 4 days. Matter of fact, the night we got picked up, I think we hit some rough weather. I got picked up at a little bit after 1 o'clock in the morning. I was picked up, and I was the first one aboard the Bassett.
Again, just trying to imagine myself in your shoes. You're 18 when this all happens. So you've lived the last 75 years with that experience in mind.
Never leaves.
How has that impacted the way you've lived your life since?
Just appreciate what I had, because we lost 880 guys that never had that chance. Whoever got in the water, if they were hurt, they didn't live very long. And all they had was burns on my left side. I wasn't hurt very bad, but there was guys in some bad shape.
Another thing I'm thinking about is I imagine, you know, you and your law enforcement career, spent a quarter century with the police department here in Benicia. So as a police officer and probably as a parent, I'm just imagining you didn't buy very many excuses that people tried to throw at you.
No. I really enjoyed being a cop.
Yeah.
I really did. In those days, we were boss on the street. We were the boss. Today, those guys don't have a chance out there now. But I really enjoyed being a cop, and I'd do it again if I could.
I guess floating for 5 days in the water with no food and water, losing 35 pounds over that stretch with sharks eating your buddies, I don't think anyone can tell a tougher story than that.
No, it was after you've seen the first couple, it's going to happen to you pretty soon. So I stayed by myself most of the time. I didn't gang up because the sharks seemed like they hit the guys that were ganged up together. I did have them poke me in the gut. They have a hard nose, you know. All it did was push me back into the crowd, so I came out so good. No open sores, just burns up my whole other side was burned. But a lot of guys were in bad shape. They didn't last very long.
So in honor of the 75th anniversary of this tragic event that you survived, Congress approved the highest medal they can give to any civilian, the Congressional Gold Medal, and it's going to all of you USS Indianapolis survivors. What's the significance of that? What does it mean to you that the Congressional Gold Medal this year is going to you and your fellow survivors?
Well, I don't know about the medal. I'll accept it gratefully, but no matter what they do, you'll never can imagine what we went through while in the water. I can't even tell you what it was like. Nobody should go through stuff like that. You're dodging sharks, and then you're dodging guys that are going nuts attacking you. I'm telling you, I'm just so lucky to get through that.
Well, and I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country. And thank you for telling this story, because I know you've told it a ton of times, so you don't need to tell it to me and to the people listening right now, but it does so much for us to try to understand. How do you think we should remember? You mentioned the number a few minutes ago. 880 guys from your ship who died. How should we remember them?
These guys joined the Navy for a purpose. Our country was in trouble, so that's why we joined. Everybody should know the story. Just lucky that we were able to do what we did. Otherwise, we might have been talking Japanese. You never know.
Well, I was just thinking about that. Specifically, I'm thinking about all the guys who served in the war, Army, Navy, Marines, Air Corps, Coast Guard, who've told me that they felt Truman dropping the bomb saved their lives because we didn't have to invade Japan.
Yeah.
If you guys don't do your job and get it there, that doesn't happen.
No.
So you guys helped save a lot of lives.
That's what we were there for, you know. Of course, being 17, 18 years old, what else could you do? We had a good time doing it. Except for those 5 days.
Except for those 5 days, to say the least. I have one more question for you. You're 93. You're the baby of the bunch of the Indy survivors. But at 93 years old, as you look back, is there something that you'd say you're most proud of?
Being able to serve. I think everybody should do some service for the country. I think it's a good experience for a young man or young girl being able to accomplish something that everybody can't do. I don't regret any time I was ever in it. It was good for me. I think everybody should experience something like that.
Harold Bray, 93 years old, and as we mark the 75th anniversary of the sinking of the USS Indianapolis, one of just 8 survivors still with us. Don't forget to explore a wealth of information about the ship and Harold's shipmates at ussindianapolis.com. That's linked also for you at hometownheroesradio.com. Thanks so much for spending this hour with us. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you once more of something the inimitable story of the USS Indianapolis reminds us of very powerfully this week. Our freedom is not free.